The 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. With the coming of evening that same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with him. Then it began to blow a gale, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that it was almost swamped. But he was in the stern, his head on the cushion, asleep. They woke him and said to him, "Master, do you not care? We are going down." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Quiet now, be calm." And the wind dropped, and all was calm again. Then he said to them, "Why are you so frightened? How is it that you have no faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him."
Maria Valtorta writes, "A sailing and fishing boat, not excessively large nor very small, on which five or six people can move comfortably, is ploughing through the water of the beautiful deep blue lake of Gennesaret. Jesus is sleeping in the stern. He is dressed in his usual white and is sitting, not lying, on the bottom of the boat with his head resting on the board at the very end of the stern. He is sleeping peacefully. He is tired and calm. Peter is at the rudder and Andrew is busy with the sails. The sun is setting in the west and John and two others are sorting out the ropes and nets in the bottom of the boat as if they were preparing for a catch during the night. All the disciples have pulled up their tunics in order to be free in their movements. They are passing from one part of the boat to another, stepping over oars, seats, baskets and nets. I see that the sky is clouding over and the sun is hiding behind huge storm clouds which have suddenly appeared from behind the top of a hill. The wind blows them fast towards the lake. The wind, for the time being, is high up and the lake is still quiet, although it is becoming darker and its surface is no longer perfectly smooth. There are no waves as yet, but the water is beginning to ruffle. Peter and Andrew watch the sky and the lake and are preparing to draw close to the shore. But the wind rages over the lake so suddenly that in a few minutes there are surges of foam. The swelling waves clash against one another, striking the little boat, tossing it up and down in all directions and preventing all manoeuvres of the rudder. And the wind prevents manoeuvring of the sail, which has to be lowered. Jesus is sleeping. Neither the footsteps and excited voices of the disciples, nor the howling wind, nor the waves pounding on the sides of the boat and its prow awaken him. His hair is blowing in the wind and drops of water reach him. But he is sleeping. John runs from stem to stern and covers him with his mantle, which he has taken from under a board. He covers him with delicate love. The storm rages more and more furiously. The lake is as black as ink and is streaked by the foam of the waves. The boat lets in water and the wind drives it further and further to the open sea. The disciples are perspiring in their efforts to control the boat and bailing out the water from the waves, but to no avail. They are paddling in the water that reaches up to their knees, and the boat is becoming heavier and heavier. Peter loses his calm and patience. He hands the rudder over to his brother, staggers towards Jesus, and shakes him vigorously. Jesus wakes up and raises his head. "Save us, Master, we're going down," Peter shouts to him. He has to shout to make himself heard. Jesus stares at his disciple, looks at the others, and then at the lake. "Do you believe that I can save you?" "Quick, Master," shouts Peter, while a mountain of water moves fast from the centre of the lake towards the poor little boat. It is so high and dreadful that it looks like a waterspout. The disciples, who see it coming, kneel down and hang on to whatever they can, certain that it is the end. Jesus gets up, a white figure against the livid storm. He stretches his arms out towards the huge wave and says to the wind, "Stop and be quiet," and to the water, "Calm down, I want it." The wave dissolves into foam, which falls harmlessly with a roar and fades into a whisper. The wind dies down, changing into a whistle and then a sigh. And the sky becomes clear once again over the quietened lake, while hope and faith fill the hearts of the disciples. I cannot describe Jesus' majesty. One must see it to understand it. And I think of how placid was Jesus' sleep, and how domineering was his command to the winds and the waves. Jesus then says to Maria Valtorta, "Why was I sleeping? Did I perhaps not know that there was going to be a storm?" "Yes, I knew. Only I knew." "Why was I sleeping then?" "The apostles were men, Maria. They were full of goodwill, but still very much men. Man thinks he is always capable of everything. When he is really capable of doing something, he is full of haughtiness and is attached to his ability. Peter, Andrew, James and John were good fishermen, and consequently they thought they were unexcelled in handling a boat. As far as they were concerned, I was the great rabbi, but a mere nothing as a sailor. So they thought I was unable to help them, and when we boarded the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee, they begged me to sit down because I was not capable of doing anything else. I do not impose myself, Maria, except in exceptional circumstances. I generally leave you free and wait. On that day, tired as I was and being asked to rest, that is, to let them act, clever as they were, I went to sleep. In my sleep there was mingled the ascertainment of how man is man and wants to do things by himself. I saw in those spiritually deaf men, in those spiritually blind men, all the spiritually deaf and blind people who throughout centuries would ruin themselves because they wanted to do things by themselves, although I was waiting to be asked to help them. When Peter shouted, "Save us," my bitterness dropped like a stone. I am not man, I am the God-man. I do not behave as you do. When someone rejects your advice or your help and you see him in trouble, you are uncharitable enough to look at him indifferently without being moved by his shouts for help. Your attitude means, "When I wanted to help you, you did not want me. Well, help yourself now." But I am Jesus. I am the Saviour. And I save, Maria. I always save, as soon as I am asked to. The poor men might object. "In that case, why do you allow storms to break out? If by my power I should destroy evil, you would consider yourselves the authors of good, which, in fact, is a gift of mine, and you would not remember me any longer. You would never remember me. My poor children, you are in need of sorrow to remember that you have a father. Just as the prodigal son remembered he had a father when he was hungry. Misfortunes persuade you of your nothingness, of your ignorance, which is the cause of so many errors, of your wickedness, the cause of so much mourning and grief, and of your faults, the cause of the punishments which you inflict upon yourselves. But they also persuade you of my existence, of my power, and of my goodness. That is what today's gospel teaches you. It is your gospel of the present time, my poor children. Call me. Jesus does not sleep except when he is in anguish, because he sees that he is not loved by all. Call me, and I will come. Sometime later, Philip and Andrew visit a village to find lodgings for Jesus and the other apostles. The hotel keeper is very curious about Jesus and asks what he is like. Philip answers, "We can reply to you quite frankly, because there is nothing wicked to be concealed. He, our Master, is the saint of all saints. He spends his days teaching. He goes tirelessly from place to place, seeking the hearts of men. He spends the night praying for us. He accepts the pleasures of the table and of friendship, not for his own advantage, but only to approach those who otherwise would be unapproachable. He does not repel publicans and prostitutes. His way is traced out with miracles of redemption and miracles over diseases. Winds and seas obey him. He does not need anybody to work his prodigies, neither does he have to evoke spirits to know hearts." "How can he?" asked the man. "You said that winds and seas obey him, but they are not endowed with reason. How can he give them orders?" "Tell me, man, according to you, is it more difficult to give an order to the wind or the sea or to death?" "By Jehovah," the innkeeper replies, "you cannot give orders to death. You can throw oil on the sea, you can hoist sails over it, or more wisely, you can avoid going to sea. You can lock doors against the wind, but you cannot give an order to death. There is no oil capable of calming it, and there is no sail which, hoisted on our little boat, can make it sail so fast as to leave death behind. And there are no locks for it. It comes in when it wants to, even if the doors have been locked. Oh, no one gives orders to that queen." "And yet our master commands it, not only when it is near, but also after it has come. A young man of Nain was about to be put into the dreadful mouth of his sepulchre, and Jesus said to him, 'I tell you, rise,' and the young man came back to life. You can go and see." "Just like that," says the innkeeper, "in the presence of everybody?" "On the road, in the presence of the whole of Nain." The innkeeper and his customers look at one another in silence. Then the innkeeper says, "But he'll do that only for his friends." And Philip says, "No, man, for all those who believe in him, and not for them only. He is mercy on the earth, believe me. No one asks him in vain. Listen, is there anyone amongst you who suffers from or weeps because of diseases in the family, doubts, remorse, temptations, ignorance? Go to Jesus, the Messiah of the gospel. He is here today. He will be elsewhere tomorrow. The grace of the Lord, who is passing, should not be allowed to pass in vain." Jesus tells Maria Valtorta about the many storms he has tamed for her. "When I saw that you were heading towards a danger of whatever kind, I would remove the tiller and the sails from your hands and steer them myself straight into the open ocean of my love, which wanted you. When you were able to see me, you were already away from the shoals and the rocks. You had only to sail trustingly towards the sun. Have you ever perished? Never. Why? Because I am with you. I allow you to feel these storms approaching. Indeed, I want you to know that they are about to come, so that you may fortify yourself in advance to face them, and so that you will have a twofold merit in suffering them in advance. In this too, my sister spouse, I make you like me and Mary. We knew our passion far in advance. I allow these storms to come, atrocious ones, yes, atrocious, extremely atrocious. But when they come, I don't remain at the top of the mainmast. I come further down. I come alongside you. I take your poor head and your poor heart in my hands. On the wounds of your heart I pour the balms of my caresses and of my blood, dripping from my pierced palms. And I close your eyes and ears with these hands which love you, so as not to have you see and hear the terrifying appearance and voices of the storm. You were in my arms. You were struggling and calling me. You thought you were clashing against Satan and human wickedness. No, they were at your side, but you were bumping against me, me alone, because you were in the circle of my arms and clasped against my breast, not gripped by Satan, but by me. You thought you were alone. You did not hear my voice, but I was speaking in your hair. I spoke so much to your superconscious that it calmed down like a child before the lullaby rocking him. I am the Jesus who calmed the storms on the Lake of Galilee. I calmed them without touching the tiller and sails, but with my will alone. I can also calm the storm raging around a child of mine, holding him in my arms and commanding the winds and the waves to be still. Do not fear, daughter. Do not leave the circle of my arms, and do not fear anything. Even if the whole world collapsed around you, I would not have you experience desolation. Even if you were left alone in an empty world, you would always find a breast to receive you, mine, and you would be rocking on these knees as though they were a mother's.